Welcome back to the Cat Attack Podcast, week number two. We're on the precipice, we're on the cusp, we're on everything you can imagine, the eve, all those adjectives that suggest the football season is only minutes away. A couple of days out from Carlton versus Richmond. It's the Cat Attack Podcast with you. Ben Castagnoli, you're on board, and I'm joined by K-Rock's number one caller, Tom King. Kingy, there's a little bit of stuff in the air, isn't there?
Yeah, you just get that little bit of smell of cut grass telling you that it's not being cut as short as it is for the cricket. It's just got that nice little tinge of green to it, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, we are. It is. It's looking good, and it's looking... Well, is it looking good for the Cats? It's
yes.
Radagalia finger injury.
Playing.
Well, that's a good sign. Obviously, Scotty Selwood doing his hamstring in a practice match is not a good sign.
No, that's weeks, unfortunately. Yeah. That is what Chris Scott labelled at his media conference, midterm.
Yeah, well, that's not ideal. Do you wonder whether... Scotty Selwood's career may be dictated to how the team goes. If the side is to start the year well in what we call is probably arguably the defining period for them, the first 6 weeks, and they do well, they were, say, 4-2, or should we suggest 5-1.
What are you saying, Ben?
Well, I just wonder whether if the side goes well, will there be a spot for him? If it's not going well, it might be easier to bring him back in later in the year. But you're not sitting here right now saying he's a dead set lock to come back into the side.
He's played 32 of a possible 72 games since the Cats got him.
And
he's
in the having last missed quite a few prior to joining the Cats.
Correct.
It's just brutal, unfortunately. And what makes it more difficult for him is he's the sort of player that needs to play all the time, yep, to show his best. He needs to do the track work, to borrow a racing parlance. So he's not one who's just going to slip in fresh and give you something. He needs to be, you know, increasing his loads each week. The sort of the footy soreness that they talk about, that's the sort of stuff he thrives on week after week. Yep. And he's just not going to get it. So, it's a real shame because his sort of qualities are something the team don't have an abundance of. So they've got to find somebody else to potentially do that. Now, who's that man? Is it Sam Inagola?
Probably his next cab off the rank in that regard.
To play a defensive role, can you ask? He's a bit of a C-ball, get-ball player, though. That's whereas Scotty Selwood...
But do things change a bit because of the way we're now set up with the 666?
Well, potentially. But the way you play, I think, you know, that's only in certain instances
I know that's at the bounce, but
the rest of it's just normal.
I still think that'll change how the game's played, though.
In those situations, it will.
Yeah, I still think that'll flow on.
Potentially. I just wonder whether somebody like a Menegola, who I consider to be a really... He's just see ball, get ball. Mm. It's very difficult to change. Mm. Suddenly become a stopper or a tagger, that's not something you just do overnight.
No, but I think he's got the ability to run with somebody.
Well, he certainly can run with somebody. He runs like a frightened farmer. I think he's second only to Mark Blitzarves in the time trials there at the Cats. And
oh, no, my man Myers is second, I think.
Is he gone past?
I think Myers...
Menegola is not far away.
No, Myers is up there as well. Myers is somewhere in that mix.
So it's Menegola, Myers behind Blitzarves.
Yep.
Yeah, but his aerobic capacity is enormous, but it's more of a mental thing and it's more changing your philosophy. And I don't know that you can just suddenly... One bloke gets injured and suddenly your role for the season changes. That's a massive ask. Mm.
Going to try something, aren't they?
Well, they're going to have to, yeah. Look, it's the mix for that round one. We're considering, obviously, the Cats side will look very, very different, particularly, well, even defensively with no Zach Tui. Jordan Clark probably plays.
As strong a hint as Chris Scott could give that he was playing, he gave today.
Yeah, I think he's playing. I think he was playing once he played that Just Like training game against West Coast.
21 possessions.
Yeah, he was good. It's at the other end where it's going to look different. Rowan and Dalhouse are into the side, obviously. I think Tom Atkins probably plays.
I reckon that's where it stops. I reckon they bring in four freshies.
And Jordan Clark plays.
Yeah, Clark.
But Atkins. You also then have Radagalia, who wasn't there for most of last year.
Round 9, I think, was his last game.
You've got Ablett playing as a permanent forward, which wasn't the case last year.
Correct.
You've got Paddy Dangerfield coming off a good pre-season. He goes into the midfield and plays predominantly as a midfielder.
You get Taylor Henderson... That's Taylor.
Taylor Henderson and Blitzarves. What's going to happen with Taylor and Henderson?
Well, Chris Scott did say at the media conference on Tuesday that there'll be times that the three of them don't fit into the one side.
Well, is this week one of those times?
Possibly. And I suspect it's Henderson that gets the squeeze.
Well, that'll be interesting too. Obviously, big Mason Cox. He's going to cause us some issues up front.
I think that's Blitzarves. match up right there.
Yep. And then they don't, they've got a bevy of smaller type players, they Collingwood. Don't. They rely on sort of Hosk and Elliott and...
Well, no, Hosk and Elliott won't play.
And Elliott.
Elliott's the one.
Who else will they...
DeGoey.
Yeah, well, he's an interesting one.
If he plays.
Jake Collar-Jasny, but he's no certainty to play either.
He's right. He's available.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's available, so I suspect he plays.
So they've got an interesting... They've got a... I mean, I know they've had... Obviously, the Selwood injury is disappointing, but they've actually got a relatively healthy list.
Yeah, so Selwood... Zach Smith will play in the VFL this week, more than likely, after overcoming that knee injury.
Cats go with one ruckman?
I reckon they might go with two.
What Abbott, Stanley and Radaglia.
Well, you play Radaglia as a four.
And Hawkins and Blitzarves and Taylor. It's the land of the Giants down there at the Cats.
Lions and Tigers and
Bears. Won't want to go past the Montague Street Bridge. Goodness me, I don't know if you can play all those blokes against Collingwood. Mm. Collingwood don't have a huge team.
No. Do you have to throw two ruckmen at Grundy?
You can't just have bring a bloke in for 3 or 4 minutes a quarter. He's got to give you something. I don't know that he was... The ruck shapes for me with this 6-6 shapes is an issue for the Cats.
So I went to the VFL pracky last week. And I know you can't read a lot of VFL practice matches, especially against a typical VFL side. So it was Werribee, no AFL-listed players. But he spent some time forward and he showed some good signs.
We can't play him forward as well. Radaglia, Hawkins and Abbott.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're going to
be jacking the beanstalk.
So yeah, Abbott may be the one that gets, well, just
think
not squeezed.
I think you've got to go with one ruckman and hope that Stanley can... provide you with something.
Well, he's got to nullify Grundy, basically, doesn't he?
Because Grundy's one of those ruckmen that can actually take the game over.
And the new rule with that being able to grab the ball out of the ruck, too.
Will help Grundy.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's going to help sides, I think, who have got the dominant ruckman. And Geelong don't have a dominant ruckman.
Yep.
So they don't have something that's even close to a dominant ruckman.
So that's going to be interesting. I don't. So the others that are in the mix potentially for a debut, I don't think Darcy Ford debut. He's actually Ford. I don't think Fort's probably... There was a lot of raps around him, but I don't think his JLT was great. I think he was found wanting a couple of times, maybe just with the pace of the game.
Oh, I think he was found wanting in all departments. It was a good experience for him, but, you know, someone who's 25, you would have expected, given that there were raps coming out of the Cats, you would have expected a little bit more. I thought he was really disappointed.
He's probably been... Abbott's probably gone past him now for second ruck spot. If they do go with two rucks or if Stanley was to break down, which obviously had those calf issues last year. No Tui this week, and they're not going to rush him.
Buse?
No Buse. Busey's got some groin soreness.
The old groin soreness.
So
the Mexican general.
So he'll be missing for a little while. So they're not too far away.
Do you think anybody has any idea what to expect from the Cats on Friday night?
Absolutely none.
I think it's a microcosm of their year. They could beat Collingwood, you'd say, oh, yeah.
This is
a little bit of an upset, but not an unbelievable upset.
It's unthinkable, no.
They could get beaten by 7 goals and you'd say, well, maybe that's where they're at.
So I reckon this is the first year in about 15 with Geelong that at the start of the season you've got no idea where they're going to finish.
Yeah, I agree.
I reckon since 04 was a bit of this is a development year, and I think they caught us by surprise with the prelim. 05, you know, semi-final appearance. 06 was the one where they go, this is where they're going to launch, and obviously, you know, we know how horrendous it was. And then since then, it's been, well, we just expect the Cats to play finals. They've only let us down once in 2015, and that was just a bizarre year all around for so many reasons. But this one is genuinely, which way is this going to go?
Much will depend too on Matthew Knights' capacity to fashion a competitive midfield.
Well, I think as you alluded to with Patrick Dangerfield being fitter, all of a sudden Geelong's midfield is more competitive.
My worry is that is with the Cats, and it's quite noticeable. It's not something that I've always subscribed to, but as the years have gone on, I have become a subscriber. They defend GMHBA Stadium really well.
Yep.
Because it's skinnier. There's not as much pressure on their midfield to be defensive and transition defensively. Because the ground's a bit skinnier, the game becomes narrower.
Yep.
When they get onto those bigger grounds, the midfield has to have defensive mindset at certain parts of the game. It has to have capacity to dictate the tempo of the game, like we saw West Coast do last year, particularly in the grand final.
Yep.
They dictated the game to the opposition. When Collingwood had a run on early, they were able just to hold up enough to keep them in the game, to hang in there. Geelong gets scored against heavily at times, And that a lot of that to do is with the midfield and its capacity to play both ways. Now, that's up to Matthew Knights. They didn't do it last year. Can he get them to do it this year? And can he get them to do it away from GMHBA Stadium?
Oh, we'll find out early because they've got a game at the G. They've got a game at
home.
They've got a game at home, but they've got to go to Adelaide.
Yeah.
And they've got to go...
GWS at home again.
GWS at home, but and back to the G in round five against the Hawks.
So we'll
get an early idea.
Yeah, I think, you know, and this is part of my theory with the C-ball, get-ball players. They've got a lot of them,
yep.
Which is fine. You know, the Dangerfields and the you know, Selwood and you know, even Ablett to a degree, Kelly. Even though he's probably going to play forward. Yeah, Kelly's another one. Mitch Duncan is pretty much C-ball, get-ball. Very good attacking players, yep. Not so good defensive. And if you think back to the halcyon days, and that's another word that we'll try to use quite a bit in the Cat Attack podcast this year, halcyon, it's just magnificent. The halcyon days of the Cats, they had the C-ball, get-ball as offensive, Bartel, Ablett, a couple of other Chapman, Stevie J, who sort of rolled through the midfield, yep. All attacking, but they were also then counterbalanced by Cameron Ling, Joel Corey, and James Kelly,
yep.
Who played defensively, yep. And were able to fashion the team and organise the team when it wasn't going their way, which wasn't that often, mind you, but when it's not going the Cats' way, the capacity of the midfield to lock down, clamp the opposition down, and keep their team in the game is something that's been... It's been lacking at the Cats in recent years.
We'll find out more.
Have we got any questions, King?
We do have some questions. Daz Broncos just missed us last week. Oh, Benny's just dying over there.
Oh, just you're a okay. Lurgy sort of came up.
Yeah,
there.
Okay. Given I missed last week, a two-parter on Tommy Atkins.
Oh, wow.
Tom Atkins will be the most influential of the new additions. While not the most skilled or touted, he certainly seems to play as hard as anyone and never gives anyone less than 100%. Will make some players on the list look over their shoulder in the effort and commitment department. Who do you see the most influential of the new additions to the club? Jordan Clark's going to be an absolute superstar.
I think Daz is an astute footy mind.
He is an astute.
I think for this year anyway, he could be right with Atkins. Because I think Clark is going to do some stuff where it gets you sort of the arousal levels at the level they should be. They like to be at most of the time, but they never are. So that he's going to do that sort of stuff. But he's also going to have horrible games, and he's going to be inconsistent. You know, he's a kid. That's what's going to happen. Tommy Atkins has that maturity to have an influence week in, week out. Now, it may not be as pronounced aesthetically as Clark in terms of the way it looks, but you drag it out over the course of a 22-week season, his influence on the season potentially will be greatest of the young players. Does Constable get a game on the weekend?
He's on the cusp.
Well, I love being on the cusp. I've been on the cusp a couple of times.
He
love to see him get a game. I reckon he's going to be a star. He just needs a bit more meat on the frame. What was the second part of?
Given Scooter is hampered again and OOC at season's end, OOC being out of contract. If Atkins can play the defensive forward role well enough and he builds his tank some more, can he become the main pressure mid if required? Granted, a lockout of the Skip's brother ain't easy. That's a good point. Yes, he can, because he spent most of his VFL time in the midfield. And that's why they're playing him forward now, is basically, mate, we're going to get... By the time next year rolls around, I'd say they want Atkins pressing up the ground. Two pre-seasons under his belt, AFL pre-seasons under his belt. And he's defensively minded. Loves a tackle, loves a bump.
Well, he's the player that I was talking about that Sam Menegola is very different to. You know, Tom's obviously done it the hard way, and he's got a real scrap and fight about the way he plays, and that's a defensive... He's sometimes a defence-first player. So he's got that. He doesn't need to... I mean, he obviously will keep working on it, but that's already instilled. That's how he's got to where he's at.
Yep.
So he's the player that, you know, the Cats particularly haven't had. So, his story this year, you know, shapes as a really interesting one to watch.
Well, this is Tin Lids from the Wojo Appreciation Society. Would love to know...
The Wojo. Yep. Remember he sent recruiters when he just burst onto the scene and recruiters were suddenly just scouring Warsaw?
Would love to know how Nathan Kruger is tracking this preseason, how much you guys rate him, and where if you expect him to play AFL this year. I can't say I've seen a huge deal, only there are some raps on him, and the Cats obviously saw something to go and do a deal with Carlton prior. So he was going to be, well, the pick that the Cats used, they traded a draft pick to take Carlton's State League access selection. They were given as obviously some help last year. And the Cats have had this on Nathan, they're on Nathan Kruger for 12 months. Played some good Sandful senior footy last year. But he's probably going to need a little bit of time.
He's a big boy.
He's a good size. Yeah, he's just probably going to need some time in the VFL.
Yeah, but I mean, and the bigger players, you know, ad nauseum, we say it's very difficult for a young, tallish player to make a mark early. They just don't have the physical strength. That's why Charlie Constable is a little bit behind the eight ball with some of the other midfielders, that he needs the strength to play that bull midfield role. He doesn't have it yet, or the size. I mean, that will come, but he just physically doesn't quite have it yet. And that's going to be Kruger's issue in his development. He's just, I saw him take a couple of nice marks in the practice match against the Bombers when Geelong got absolutely spanked.
In the VFL.
And then some of those players actually had to do wind sprints after the game. I'd never seen that.
Well, it was basically all the AFL listed.
It was.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't, apparently the GPS data
said no.
It just said that they'd done absolutely nothing. So they get out there and run your backsides off. I've never seen that before. It was quite extraordinary. But look, I'd be staggered. Let's put it this way. If Nathan Kruger is playing, either he's kicked 10 goals 3 weeks in a row in the VFL.
Yep.
And he'll win the VFL best and fairest. Or the Cats are in diabolical trouble.
In terms of injuries or just going no good.
Yeah.
Yep. Turbo Cat, congrats to the AFLW girls on making it through to the finals. They've done well. Their preliminary final game against the Crows, it would seem, might be a step too far. Have you watched any of it? What do you think about the future for the women's comp? I'll handle this, Ben, because I know you've watched absolutely none of it. I haven't seen a great deal of it in depth. The Cats are probably very young and very experienced. There's not a lot of mid-tier players. They've got a lot of girls that have played a lot of footy and a lot of girls that haven't, but they will be better for this year and be better for a finals appearance. It's going to be interesting next year. Four more teams coming in next year. The Cats have got to drop six off their list, and in doing that, we'll get some new faces in at the draft, so we'll wait and see what happens there. Potentially, we may have three or four debutants, up to a third of the side new, a lot of change. Clark looks likely to play. Good for him. He's the youngest player on our list. Looks like to have a lot of potential. This may be something about some of the other players on our list not selected. Sam Simpson, for instance. Do we expect him to press for a game this year, or has he been passed over?
Well, has he been injury-free?
He's battled a bit through pre-season.
Yeah, he seems to have sort of dropped off the radar completely, doesn't he? It's interesting. It's funny.
Out of contract at the end of
the year. Yeah, it's funny, the AFL. If you have a bad run with injury, or you do need that time like Sam Simpson does, it doesn't take much for someone to go past you. Mm. I mean, Tom Atkins has come in and has clearly gone past him. They bring in Delhouse and Rowan, which doesn't help his cause, because that's the sort of role he might play, and they've brought in two experienced players from other clubs. So, right now it shapes as... His best case scenario, I would have thought, is to really show something in the VFL. And that may not mean that he gets a game in the AFL, but gives him another year at the club.
Yep. What's an acceptable outcome versus the Pies? Close game, loss, kick 16 goals, or is it must win no matter what we score? We don't know.
I think
you don't know it. You want to win round one, but you don't know, because we expect Collingwood to be good. But we might be talking in 6 months' time, and Collingwood might have gone like absolute busted backsides and finished 8-14, and Geelong will be ruining not winning it.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But
I know what you mean. I'm just hoping Geelong are competitive.
Yeah.
And competitive means in the game till the end. If they don't win, fine. But you walk away with some signs of positivity.
Based on recent history, they will be in the game until the end.
Yeah,
it's very rare.
You're not going to have Dangerfield fit firing, Selwood fit firing, Hawkins, some of the talent they got on that list, Ablett,
Kelly,
Blitzarves, Mitch Duncan,
Stewart.
Yeah, they've got too much talent you would have thought to get blown away. Whether they're good at, I mean, you covet what you see all the time, so we see those guys all the time. We don't potentially see the Collingwood players all the time, but wow, have they got some seriously good players. Steel Sidebottom,
Pendlebury.
I know Darcy Moore's only young and been injury prone, but I reckon he could be an absolute star. Mason Cox, Brody Grundy, DeGoey, Elliott.
Was Cox a flash in the pan last year, or is he genuinely now a good AFL player?
Well, I don't know. I think he's a good AFL player. He's 8'9". Nobody can get near him. He's like, he's marking the ball at the highest point. There's no defender on the planet that can get within a foot of him.
So congratulations to the AFLW girls, by the way. 3 wins, 4 losses. So they'll play Adelaide, trying to win a preliminary final at Adelaide Oval on Sunday. 4 big games of K-Rock footy this weekend, Benny.
Oh, it's going to be an absolute monster to kick the season off, Kingy. We are just absolutely beside ourselves. Thursday night, Carlton Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, the big one between the Pussies and the Pies. Saturday will be a good game between Melbourne and Port.
Absolute. 4 debutants for the for the Power.
Hopefully talking to Brendan McCartney pre-game.
Oh, Mac has spent... Now, Mac has had a big off season. He's not only been at Melbourne, he's been down at the Falcons
helping,
as well.
Yeah. So we might be able to ask him about that.
Yep, certainly. And we'll ask him, obviously... It wouldn't be a Brendan McCartney segment without asking about the South Melbourne Dim Sims.
Yes, we'd probably get that one away too. And Sunday, while it paper, St Kilda versus Gold Coast, the pressure is all on the Saints.
Correct.
I know that they've had a horrible pre-season. Everything that could possibly have gone wrong has gone wrong. But Alan Richardson's under pressure right from the first bounce of the season.
I'm very tempted to pick Gold Coast.
If Gold Coast beat St Kilda... I'd say that Alan Richardson will be gone as St Kilda coach by mid-year.
Okay.
I don't think the team
but
would recover
they,
from
but
that.
But even if they do beat them, there's no guarantee he'll be there.
No, I think he's clearly under pressure.
If you had the...
I mean, you feel sorry. You couldn't possibly imagine the pre-season they've had.
No.
I mean, it's just been a disaster.
Yeah, no luck.
So anyway, Kingy, we're going to be there front and square this weekend.
Yes.
We are looking forward to it. The Cat Attack podcast will be back next week when we will slice and dice, Demtel style, the Cats round one performance against the Pies. Because, look, we're going there a little Bruce Nankervis, aren't we?
Yeah, just a tad.
Yeah.
We'll know more about 20 past 10 on Friday night.
We will.